You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Another edition of American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner speaking to you on the 27th. As I've already done this on the 27th on that other network, the WBCQ, which was on for about 5 or 10 minutes and then it was lost and I wasted the entire hour. that just seems to happen all the time when I'm on the air. It gets knocked off. You just kind of sit and wonder, why are you doing this? Why do you torture yourself? Why do you work so hard to try and get information out and then it's not heard? Hopefully it's being heard tonight. And right away, as soon as I get here, get ready to roll, computer problems again. And the beat goes on. It just continues. And even if I do get it, somebody to fix it, who's got the money to pay for it? It's very frustrating for me at this point in time, right now, to be doing this. And the show I did today was the Discount Gold and Silver Trading broadcast with Melody Cederstrom. What a mess she has. I can't really get into it. I don't feel privileged to get into it privy to get into it, put it that way. But what a mess. What a mess this country's in. What a mess the people are in. And what a situation I have with my broadcast equipment. And the front page, they're talking about the elections. What a joke, I'm sorry to say. I wish there was something more positive I could say about this, but according to this information from the Washington Bureau out of the Oklahoman, Democrats on Monday honored some of their past heroes before moving on to their 2004 hopefuls later in the week, as former President Clinton gave a podium-pounding speech calling for unity in America. Isn't this amazing? The third-way communitarian President Communist Clinton wants unity in America, under the guise of democracy, naturally. This goes on to state, speaking on the first night of the Democratic National Convention, Clinton said the Republicans, in order to defeat Democrats, quote, need a divided America, but we don't. Americans long to be united, end quote. During some of the nation's most troubled times, he said, quote, we chose to form a more perfect union, end quote. Amazing, absolutely amazing. Bill Clinton. Still getting away with what he's doing. Still the closet communist and third way individual that occupied the White House for 8 years, fully implemented President's Council on Sustainable Development, part of Agenda 21, that most don't even know about. Sad commentary in our country, people. Goes on to state, after the 9/11 attacks, Clinton said, quote, "We just all wanted to be one nation," end quote. But Bush and the Republican Congress made a different choice. Quote, "They chose to use that moment of unity to try to push the country too far to the right," end quote, he said. What does too far to the right mean? Right, left, Republican, Democrat, always have to have the two sides to create the Hegelian dialectic. Always. And there you have it. Bill Clinton, in an impassioned plea for Americans to unite behind presumed Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry, Clinton said, quote, "Since we're all in the same boat, let us choose as the captain of our ship a brave, good man who knows how to steer a vessel through troubled waters to the calm seas and clear skies of our more perfect union," end quote. Perfect union? Remember, John Kerry, evidently member of Skull and Bones, just like George Walker Bush. Democrats kicked off their four-day gathering at the Fleet Center, the first national political convention since the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. Boy, they're never going to let that disappear, the other Pearl Harbor, or another Pearl Harbor, September 11, 2001. Protected by a security force that turned the immediate area into a sealed compound patrolled by land, sea, and air. The big event of the week comes Thursday when the delegates formally nominate Kerry, a U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, as their presidential candidate, and Kerry presents himself and his plans to the nation. Well, that'll be a joke. On Wednesday, Kerry's running mate, North Carolina Senator John Edwards, will speak. Won't that be something to look forward to? The first night's slate of speakers included Clinton, Gore, former President Carter, and several Democratic elected officials, many of whom called for a foreign policy based on cooperation with American allies and economic policy that don't add to the nation's debt. Oh, my. That sounds like a logical thing to say when you're trying to get elected, isn't it? Oh, yes, a sound economic policy that won't add to the nation's debt. Well, gee, that ought to get him elected, shouldn't it? Gore, Clinton's vice president for 8 years, who lost one of the most controversial presidential elections in American history in 2000, told thousands of Democratic activists and guests that the outcome of that contest proved every vote counts and that Bush administration policies show presidential elections matter. Isn't that interesting? As the Electoral College are the ones that vote the president in, we have a popular vote. Popular vote doesn't have much to do with it. Isn't that amazing? Greeted by a rousing ovation, Gore avoided some of the harsh rhetoric he has used in recent speeches criticizing President Bush, though he questioned the president's leadership on a range of issues and asked whether Bush's election year slogan about compassionate conservatism rang hollow. Carter, who served in the White House from 1977 to 1981 and won the Nobel Peace Prize 2 years ago. Boy, isn't that amazing? Well, that's a controversial peace prize. That's a setup thing. Contrasted Kerry's military service with that of Bush, saying Kerry showed up when assigned to duty and he served with honor and distinction. Well, isn't that just remarkable? Back then, in those days, the way things were, phew, what a setup. What a setup. And that is a sad commentary we have about this, this Vietnam era. Whether Bush served, what was it, in the Merchant Marines? I don't know. Whether Kerry served in Vietnam honorably? Who knows? What's honorably when it's a whole setup situation? The entire Vietnam War was an entire setup. Just like the Korean War, of which the armistice was signed 50 years ago today, according to information I received today from Tim. The Korean War. Troops still active over in Korea, patrolling the borders. 50 years in the making. What a deal. So, this goes on to say Carter's comment was a reference to Bush's agility, sporadic service, or allegedly sporadic service in the Air National Guard. Excuse me. Merchant Marines. Okay, the Air National Guard. Carter suggested Bush had misled the country about the reason for going to war with Iraq. He said Kerry, quote, knows the horrors of war, end quote, and would avoid unnecessary wars. And he said Kerry, quote, would restore the judgment and integrity of our government that nowadays is sorely lacking, end quote. Keep in mind, they'll say anything to get elected. That's what politicians do, lie to get elected. But aren't they all attorneys, most of them? Wouldn't that be the logical thing to do, is dump the attorneys and vote for common man? Is that ever going to happen? Well, the ConstitutionalGuardian.com, ConstitutionalGuardian.com, they specialize in wishing and hoping that people won't vote for attorneys. So you should have that close at hand. Goes on to state Clinton was introduced by his wife, New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, widely assumed to be a future presidential candidate, haha, who got a long-standing ovation for the party faithful. Huh. Do they know about the third way? Do they know about the communitarian network? Do they realize what that is but reinvented communism? Well, let's give communism a chance, some are going to say, just like the people of China did. We're not having a say-so in it because the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are being implemented right here, right now. All the 45 goals of the Communist goals are under implementation now. Gay marriage, perfect example. So Hillary Rodham Clinton, widely assumed to be a future presidential candidate, she wanted to be a presidential candidate this time. She was the first one to enter her name in the running for Democratic president. She was the first one, and I exposed it way back in 2001. And maybe 2002. I'm not sure exactly when I did, but I remember that. Hillary Rodham Clinton. This goes on to state the former president promised that Democrats, quote, will bring the American people a positive campaign arguing not who's good and who's bad, but what is the best way to build the safe, prosperous world our children deserve, end quote. And what are they talking about? Sustainable development. That's the code word. However, he also mocked Republicans for taking care of him. Not that he's in the top 1% of the wealthiest Americans. What does that mean? He said Democrats believe the role of government is to give people the tools to make the best of their own lives, while Republicans believe government should concentrate wealth and power. That's interesting. Give them the tools. What tools are they giving as the jobs are disappearing below the border and overseas under the World Trade Organization? How can that be? How can that be, people? You know, the mess in place. It's just absolutely incredible. And without understanding the big picture in place, and that's your job, that's listening. Educate to prove me wrong, and then educate yourself to educate others. And it's not easy. And you keep asking, what do we do? What do I do? Listeners, it's not easy to get our country back. It's not easy. It's an impossibility almost. I'm saying almost because I'm on the air. Most of you realize where I am with my thoughts. Talk show hosts that don't get the clue about Agenda 21. That I don't care what people think of me complaining about this. Because it's so far along into full implementation. And yet hardly anyone knows about it. That's exactly what the communitarians and the third way people and the environmentalists and Gorbachev and Soros, all these individuals that are part of this global picture, that's exactly what they want. Full implementation without letting you know what it is. Here we see praising Kerry's military service and its utility in making foreign policy. Clinton said, quote, strength and wisdom are not opposing values. They go hand in hand, and John Kerry has both. His first priority will be to keep America safe, end quote. Isn't that amazing, coming from Bill Clinton? Just amazing. Last night I covered... What did I cover? Oh, yeah, the conscientious objector during the Second World War, who was decorated with the Congressional Medal of Honor on during the conflict of Okinawa in 1945 during the Second World War. The Congressional Medal of Honor, the upside-down five-pointed star. Yes, I keep harping about that. Well, here we see in the Oklahoman on the third page, it may come as no surprise that witches, magicians, pagans, and others who nourish their spirits off the beaten path sometimes have trouble finding places to meet in Oklahoma City. Quote, it's kind of a very conservative community. We keep getting kicked out, end quote, said Emma Eastwind, a member of a pagan religion called Wicca, whose practitioners often call themselves witches. Eastwind knew that other groups were having similar problems and figured there would be strength in numbers. So about a year ago, she helped organize the Deep Root Community Center, a nonprofit organization whose goal is to shelter groups that embrace spiritual beliefs outside the mainstream in Oklahoma. The Deep Root umbrella covers practitioners of holistic health, metaphysical organizations, and assorted pagan groups, including Skit Basray Lodge and the Ordo Templi Orientis, followers of a religion known as Telema, whose methods and practices are called Magic, M-A-G-I-C-K. Quote, we're open to everybody, end quote, said Kel Lendreth, Deep Root's vice president, who is also a member of the local Ordo Templi Orientis and the Council of the Magical Arts in Texas. Oh, no, America. Right on the third page of the Oklahoman, or actually it's 2A-B. How do you get that? Well, that's the way they do it here. For now, the groups are gypsies, meeting whether they can, or wherever they can, often in members' homes. That could change if Deep Root can drum up enough money, and a 12-hour drum marathon Saturday at the KOA East Campgrounds, 6200 South Choctaw Road. Many will be raised through pledges and donations. Money will be raised through pledges and donations. Quote, we want to get enough to plunk down on land a building, whatever, in quote, Eastwind said. Georgia Rivas supports the community center, but said it is not essential for pagan groups to have formal meeting places. Quote, we don't have to have a fancy church. Our gods and goddesses are within everything, within nature. It's a beautiful religion, end quote, said Rivas, a minister at the Covenant of the Goddess, a Wiccan organization. Rivas, who owns a small shop in Norman that sells candles, stones, incense, essential oils, even crystal balls, thinks pagan spiritual groups are growing in Oklahoma. Quote, we're in the thousands, and I'm talking about teachers, nurses, and one time I had a doctor. We're talking about all kinds of people, end quote, Rivas said. Well, with the Masonic community is large and gigantic as it is out in Oklahoma, I can understand. Myths about pagans abound, wrongly linking them to Satanism, black magic, and evil spells, Rivas and Eastwind said. I see. Just like the Congressional Medal of Honor, the upside-down five-pointed star, that doesn't have anything to do with Lucifer. In their eyes, probably. In most people's eyes, for sure. They go on to state that, quote, Halloween is hard around here, end quote, Eastwind said, with a sigh. You just shake your head and say, oh, why do they do this, and scare little children, end quote. Today's witches are bound by respect for the earth and belief in the interconnectivity of all things, she said. Ah, sounds very interestingly like sustainable development to me. Once again, today's witches are bound by respect for the earth and belief in the interconnectivity of all things. I'm sure she's a big believer in the Endangered Species Act, where we are just as equal to a microbe or a snail. Quote, we believe if you hurt anything, you hurt yourself too. Harm none is a pretty big part of who we are, end quote. Well, I'm that way too. I don't believe in killing animals. I'm sorry, but I don't anymore. I'm not a believer in... I just don't. I'll kill a snake whenever I see it. But it's pretty normal to be that way today when you have normal thought patterns, to not want to kill unless you want to eat, which is fine. This goes on to state, although the groups participating in Deep Root have widely different beliefs and practices, Landris said they generally get along despite occasional snipping at each other through the internet. Quote, that's one of the reasons we want to do this, to give us a physical place where we can look someone in the eye and get a read on how they feel and think, end quote, Landris said. A $1,000 profit at Saturday's drum marathon would be a big success, Landris said. Quote, this is just one event in a series. We're here for the long haul. Like us or not, we're here to stay, end quote, he said. Witches and Wiccas. How very appropriate for Oklahoma. I see all this coming into place that was coming into place in California years ago. Here I see in the paper water quality problems hindering communities. Having trouble with treating water. Price is going to go up on water. Property taxes are going to rise all over the country. Here we see in an entire section devoted to the Democratic Convention of the paper, this is today's paper, July 27th, Oklahoma Democrats helping launch the national convention Monday. Hope Americans can relate to their party's diversity. Ah. Quote, we're just patriotic Americans, as everyone else is. We're veterans, fathers, and mothers of children, as everyone else is, in quotes, said Calvin Reese, a delegate from Stillwater. Democrats believe there are different ways and ideas of shaping America. Reese said, quote, it will be like America looking into the mirror, end quote. Tolson James Fraser said of the party image Americans will see this week. Chalk Norton, a legislative director for firefighters, said those watching Democrats in action this week can understand that the Republican Party isn't the only party that is religious and patriotic. Quote, we stand just as tall or taller, end quote, said Norton of Shawnee. Jimmy Curry, president of the Oklahoma AFL-CIO, said people across America will see this week, quote, that the Democratic Party is the only party that represents the working people, end quote, and that sounds like it comes right out of the Communist Party USA. Whether he meant it to say that or not, doesn't make any difference. Tim Reese, an Oklahoma City attorney, said he hopes people will see the party for what it really is, a party that cares about children, people and jobs, and worries when small towns like Seminole lose plants. And you think that's going to change under the Democratic system, the loss of jobs and towns turning into ghost towns? You've got to be joking. It's the UN system. Kerry's going to push for the UN system more than Bush. We are the UN system, and I keep harping on that over and over again, and I've got the document to back it up about the Secretary of the Treasury being the U.S. governor of the fund, the IMF, and the bank, the World Bank, and the Inter-American Bank. Have it all. It's not going to change. It'll be worse under the Democrats, as it always is. But this is no wonderful thing that's going on with this administration, just as the Reagan administration wasn't any piece of cake either. We're running a set-up situation. People don't seem to understand. It doesn't really matter who you vote for. And yes, people are talking about third parties. That's been going on for eons. They'll never get the press. They'll never get the coverage. It'll never work. Third parties are a waste of time. Oh, so what do you do? What do we do? Well, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to tell you you need to get educated about the big picture in place. And the UN Commission on Sustainable Development is very, very important to understand. I'm not hearing a bell, once again, for the commercial pause, but I'm taking a break. Here we go. Thank you.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. What should the true Christian response to the homosexual marriage license debate be? It should be the same response that Christians should have had to marriage licensing in the first place. The very definition of a license demands that we not obtain one to marry. Black's Law Dictionary defines license as the permission by competent authority to do an act which, without such permission, would be illegal. We need to ask ourselves, why should it be illegal to marry without the state's permission? More importantly, why should we need the state's permission to participate in something which the Creator himself instituted? We do not need the state's permission to marry. What if you apply and the state says no? You must understand that the authority to license implies the power to prohibit. A license, by definition, confers a right to do something. The state cannot grant the right to marry because it is a God-given right. Should homosexuals have the right to obtain a marriage license? Let them grovel before their God, the state, for permission to do that which is unlawful in the eyes of the Creator. What should we do? Christian couples should not be marrying with state marriage licenses, nor should ministers require them. Some have said, if someone is married without a marriage license, then they won't really be married. Given the fact that states may soon legalize same-sex marriages, we need to ask ourselves, if a man and a man marry with a state marriage license, and a man and a woman marry without a state marriage license, who's really married? In reality, this contention that people are not really married unless they obtain a marriage license simply reveals how statist people are in their thinking. We need to think biblically. You should not be required to obtain a license from the state to marry any more than you need one to be a parent, which in some academic and legislative circles are currently pushing to be made law. But that is another topic. This free speech moment has been brought to you by FirstAmendmentRadio.com. If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Appropriate music for this broadcast. However, it came up, and that's what we played. We'll move on to something else. Well, we see lots of things going on the front page. Car bomb explodes outside Mosul base. Bush looks at report on 9/11. President Bush met Monday via video conference with his task force reviewing the 9/11 Commission's recommendations and contemplates acting within days on some of them. According to White House spokeswoman Claire Buchan, said she would not say which of the more than 40 recommendations Bush was likely to adopt, or he would make his own proposals. The president said he was reading the report and found it interesting. It reads like a mystery novel. It's well written, Bush said. Huh. A mystery novel, huh? Lots of things that aren't a mystery about what happened in the Murrah building. Not far from where I live. The mess is big. The setup situation is gigantic. They want to exhaust us into capitulating into a UN one world government one way or the other. Whether it's Kerry or Bush, it really doesn't make any difference. That is the way it is. In the meantime, from the State Department, you have the Bureau of Oceans and International Environmental and Scientific Affairs, headed by Assistant Secretary John F. Turner, coordinates an extensive portfolio of issues related to science, the environment, and the world's oceans. Anthony Bud F. Rock is the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary. The Oceans and Fisheries Director, headed by Deputy Assistant Secretary David Balton, has two offices dedicated to international ocean issues. The Office of Marine Conservation focuses on international fisheries matters and related problems, and the Office of the Ocean Affairs has a primary responsibility for international ocean law and policy, marine pollution, marine mammals, polar affairs, maritime boundaries, and marine science. Ah, yes. The Environmental Directorate, led by Deputy Assistant Secretary Claudia McMurray, deals with a wide breadth of environmental issues, including environmental aspects of international trade and safeguarding hazardous materials, requiring multilateral agreements within the Office of Environmental Policy. The Office of Ecology and Terrestrial Conservation develops U.S. foreign policy approaches to conserving and managing the world's ecosystems. Now we'll have to deal with that a little more. Also taking the lead on climate change issues is Harlan Watson. Have you ever heard of any of these people, listeners? I doubt it. All appointees implementing portions of Agenda 21. Senior climate negotiator and special representative Dr. Watson works closely with the climate team in the Office of Global Change. That's the Office of Global Change. How many of you have heard of the Office of Global Change, listeners? That is my point. The ignoration in America, the people wanting other people to do it for them, shame on you. The Health, Space, and Science Directorate includes the Office of International Health Affairs, which works with U.S. government agencies to facilitate policy making regarding international bioterrorism, infectious disease, surveillance and response, environmental health, and health in post-conflict situations. The Office of Space and Advanced Technology handles issues arising from our exploration of space to ensure global security regarding the New Frontier, and the Office of Science and Technology Cooperation promotes the interests of the U.S. science and technology communities in the international policy arena, negotiates framework and other S&T agreements, manages the Department's Embassy Science Fellows Program, and takes a leading role in representing U.S. science and technology in multilateral international organizations such as UNESCO and other UN organizations, APEC, OECD, and others. The Health, Space, and Science Directorate is headed by Deputy Assistant Secretary Lee Morin. Anybody realize that this is the case with this group? How about the Office of Policy Coordination and Initiatives? They employ a long-term strategic approach to OES goals. It coordinates the Bureau's efforts within the broad conceptual framework of sustainable development, working closely with the United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development and helping build and promote public-private partnerships. The office manages ongoing initiatives on water and access to energy. PCI, once again the Office of Policy Coordination and Initiatives, also manages bilateral dialogues on OES issues with major partners such as Brazil, India, and China, and coordinates environmental cooperation with key countries such as Afghanistan and Iraq. Oh, yeah. Office of Policy Coordination and Initiatives. How many have heard of them before? How many know they even exist? What's the point in electing anyone to office when you have a State Department run amok with these directions? That is the problem we have today. There's so much to learning about this. I'm sorry to be so in your face about this. Part of this is the U.S.-Mexico Border Environmental Health Training Project. Part of Border 21, part of Agenda 21, part of NAFTA, part of the New World Order, part of the World Trade Organization, all part and parcel part of the UN system. The U.S.-Mexico Border Environmental Health Training Project. The purpose of this initiative, rapid industrialization and population growth, have produced profound environmental stresses along the United States-Mexican border. Despite efforts by both governments through joint projects such as Border 21 and Border 2012, risks to human health remain a significant problem. The purpose of this project is to improve the capacity of lay community health workers, called promotores, in communities located along the U.S.-Mexico border to address environmental health risks, especially to children. This project also strives to improve the capacity of health professionals in these communities to recognize, manage, and report pesticide-related illnesses. Finally, this project advances international efforts to have, by the year 2015, the number of people who are unable to reach or to afford safe drinking water. Why are so many people without safe drinking water? Wars and conflicts. Wars for national liberation have been going on for decades. The partners, the governments, the United States Department of Health and Human Services, and the environmental protection agencies are involved in this. Out of civil society, Texas Rural Legal Aids, Fuentes de Amistad, Organization de California de Laredes, and it goes on and on and on. Samuel Vidal Cuaderno, Senor. Partnership targets needs assessment assesses the need for training in each U.S. border community, improving cross-border training on sources of potential environmental hazards such as contaminated drinking water, inadequate waste disposal. Well, that's a reality down there. Lead, agricultural pesticides, and pollutants that trigger asthma, and ways to avoid or minimize exposure. Keep in mind, everything grown down south of the border is fertilized with human waste, which is actually called, as they want to call it, those in control, biosolids. Pretty bizarre. You also want to address basic sanitation concepts and healthy practices, local referral resources for medical care and legal assistance, and how to report overexposure to agricultural pesticides. Big thing. Golf courses are slated to, ultimately, as I interject, they're going to have to reduce their pesticides. It'll be a long time coming because there's too much money rolling in the country clubs. Much to learn about all this, people. Your responsibility, not mine. Progress towards targets needs assessment. Community needs assessments have been conducted in four U.S. border communities, leading to the establishment of local advisory committees. These committees provide a bridge between project efforts and local environmental activities and assist with developing and implementing local training and public awareness efforts. Improving cross-border training, they want to have 450 promoters from both sides of the border who have trained on objective topics through intensive workshops using didactic and interactive methods and supervised outreach and peer education to community members. Based on the success of this program, a train-the-trainer curriculum has been developed to train additional promoters. Ah, yes. Propagandist is a better word. You know, it wouldn't be so bad if we weren't such a communist country and we weren't dealing with such a communist country south of the border. I mean, understanding democracy is everyone's responsibility, and I certainly understood it very, very well. There's so much to this. And we are covering the U.S.-Mexico Border Environmental Health Training Project, dated April 12, 2004, from the Department of Health and Human Services, people. Sad, sad commentary in our country today. The mess continues. Regarding World Heritage Sites, as I was covering in the shortwave show today, which was shut off, or shut down, or knocked off, or whatever, par for the course. There's some bills in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and the Virgin Islands that need to be addressed regarding World Heritage areas. And if you have the desire to learn this, if you're in these states, see what the status is on H.R. 280, the National Aviation Heritage Area, sponsored by Representative David Hobson, Republican of Ohio. Very important to cover that if you're in Ohio. H.R. 280. H.R. 1862, the Oil Region National Heritage Area, sponsored by Representative John Peterson, Republican of Pennsylvania. H.R. 1862, out of Pennsylvania. H.R. 1618, the Arabia Mountain National Heritage Area, sponsored by Denise Majet, Democrat of Georgia. That's H.R. 1618 out of Georgia. Then you have H.R. 1594, the St. Croix National Heritage Area, sponsored by Representative Donna Christensen, Democrat of the Virgin Islands. What are heritage areas but de facto federal zoning? Federal money for heritage areas is administered through the National Park Service to preservation groups and other green groups who are directed to preserve everything within the heritage area that is relevant to the heritage area. In other words, the Park Service teams up with local green groups to take away our private property rights. Once an area becomes a heritage area, local control over zoning and land use is lost forever. That is a sad commentary that we have, people. And let me go back to that quote once again, as I used it again today. But let's do it again in case there's someone out there that doesn't have the clue about what's going on. This is the point in the problem. Too many people are fast asleep. Too many people aren't paying attention. And too many people aren't educating themselves to educate others. From the World Heritage Treaty, December 17, 1975. A lot of you have heard this before. Article 11, Section 4. The committee shall establish, keep up to date, and publish, whenever circumstances shall so require, under the title List of World Heritage in Danger, a list of the property appearing in the World Heritage for the conservation of which major operations are necessary and for which assistance has been requested under this convention. This list shall contain an estimate of the cost of such operations. The list may include only such property forming part of the cultural and natural heritage as is threatened by serious and specific dangers, such as the threat of disappearance caused by accelerated deterioration, large-scale public or private projects, or rapid urban or tourist development projects, destruction caused by changes in the use or ownership of the land, major alterations due to unknown causes, abandonment for any reason whatsoever, the outbreak or the threat of an armed conflict, calamities and cataclysms, serious fires, earthquakes, landslides, volcanic eruptions, changes in water levels, floods and tidal waves, and the committee may at any time, in case of urgent need, make a new entry in the list of World Heritage in Danger and publicize such entry immediately. The ramifications of that one statement coming from the World Heritage Treaty says a lot about what's happening in our country today. If you don't have a clue about this, and I hope you don't, I hope you're a new listener, I hope you understand what's going on here. Dr. Reed F. Noss, director of the Wildlands Project, and he has evidently wide support in Congress. He has made a statement, quote, "The collective needs of the non-human species must take precedence over the needs and desires of humans," end quote. That's what Dr. Reed F. Noss has stated, according to the information I have. The collective needs of the non-human species must take precedence over the needs and desires of humans. David Brower, he's the director of the Sierra Club. He's made this statement, "While the death of young men in war is unfortunate, it is no more serious than the touching of mountains and wilderness areas by humankind. Loggers losing their jobs because of spotted owl legislation is, in my eyes, no different than people being shut out of work after the furnaces of Dachau shut down." And he's referring to the genocide in Germany during the Second World War. John Davis, editor of Wild Earth and Earth First Journal, has made this statement. "Do the Wild Earth and Wildlands Project advocate the end of industrial civilization? Most assuredly. Everything civilized must go. Most assuredly, people, everything civilized must go. This is what we're up against, people." John Davis, editor of Wild Earth and the Earth First Journal, once again, Do the Wild Earth and Wildlands Project advocate the end of industrial civilization? Most assuredly. Everything civilized must go. Oh, my. How about Dr. Paul Bier, wildlife ecologist from Northern Arizona University? This individual says this: by now we know that if we're going to have mountain lions around, maybe they're going to eat us now and then. I'm comfortable with that. Regarding rewilding America, Dr. Paul Bier, wildlife ecologist from the Northern Arizona University: by now we know that if we're going to have mountain lions around, maybe they're going to eat us now and then, and I'm comfortable with that. Oh my. How can this be? The Council of the Club of Rome has made this statement, quote, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we come up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fill the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. Oh, come on. You've got to be joking. They can't be making these statements. Once again, the Council of the Club of Rome, evidently 100 globalist leaders, plus or minus, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we come up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fill the bill, and all these dangers are caused by human intervention. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. That's a statement and a half, people. And that's the setup in place.
Who are you? That is the question, and the name of the program. To learn what the question means and what the answers are, tune in every Sunday afternoon, and Rice McLeod will give you the answers. Who are you? Check the schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for broadcast times. We'll see you then.